Well, good morning, church family. It is great to be back with you. We have missed you folks so much. Look forward to today's message, but before we do, as always, I like to go before God's throne in prayer and seek His face, so let's do that. Our great God and our King, we praise You for this rich worship service we've had this morning, this opportunity to have gathered together in our Sunday school classes and heard Your Word taught, and then, Lord God, the tremendous blessing to gather together as Your church, Your bride here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, and Lord, to be able to sing Your praises. We praise You for this time together. And Father, we could truly walk out the doors of this church right now saying it's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord, but we know that You, our God and our King, You have more for us. And Father, I ask as always, Lord, that You would just overcome the imperfections that are in this vessel, for Lord, they are many. That this message might pour out on Your people, Lord, exactly the way that You preached it to me first. In Jesus' name, amen. My daughter Sarah here, she loves chicken, particularly Bojangles chicken. Now, she's sitting here grinning, but I can tell she's hungry right now. She loves some Bojangles chicken. And recently, as I do all too often, Sarah and I are out and about, and we're running late. And she looks at me and she says those words that always mess up my plan. Daddy, I'm hungry. Well, you got to take care of your child, right? So as only a preacher can, and Alan, Sarah, y'all can amen this, but you don't have to. As only a preacher can, I roar off the highway, roll into a drive-thru Bojangles. I rush up to the speaker, and I order what Sarah gets, and they say, it's bow time. And I get to order in there, and they say, pull up to the window. Well, as I pull up to the window, there's a car sitting there that's in front of me. And as I'm sitting behind this car, I see this arm come out the window and hand the people in front of us their food. And then that arm goes back in the window, and then I pull up. And in that moment, God really convicted me. All too often, church, that's how we treat Him. We come roaring off the busy freeway of life. We rush into His presence in prayer and give Him our list of things that we need Him to do. And then we go roaring back out into life, seeking His hand to meet those needs. When what God desires to be is so much more in our lives. God desires to be more than just a divine hand that extends out to meet our need. He doesn't want to be kept at arm's length. No, He wants to be far more in our lives. In fact, He wants to be central in our life. Did you know He wants to be central in your marriage? He wants to be central in your family. He even wants to be central in your job. He wants to be central in all that you do. And listen, He wants and He deserves to be at the center of all that we are, does He not? His presence, and this word is so overused, but I think we can amen this. His presence is so awesome, amen? The presence of the great God of the universe is an awesome thing for us to contemplate. In Job chapter 9, verse 10, look at this verse with me. Job chapter 9, verse 10, He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. Just listen. 1 Chronicles 16, 27, I've got several more to read to you. 1 Chronicles 16, 27 says this, y'all can just listen. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Then Psalm 16:11 says this, You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 97:5, The mountains melt like wax at His presence. The mountains melt like wax, church. Think about that. At the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Fullness of joy is in His presence. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His presence. The majestic mountains melt like wax in His presence. And He is our God, and He desires to be at the very center of our little lives. His presence in our lives is so precious. It is so powerful. It is so comforting. It is so constant, so breathtaking, and listen, so loving. But I am convinced that we miss so much of Him because we simply don't take the time to hunger for His presence. To hunger and desire more of Him. We were created for so much more than just to call on God as though He is a drive-thru service. Moses, I think, perhaps unlike any other in Scripture, he understood this principle. And in the focal passage that we're going to look at out of Exodus 33, you can go ahead and begin turning there now if you want to. We're going to begin reading in verse 13 here in just a minute. But I think Moses understood this principle, perhaps unlike any other in Scripture. And I want to see where Moses not only understood the importance of God's presence, Moses relished in God's presence. So take your copy of God's Word and meet me in Exodus chapter 33 if you've not already. And we're going to begin reading verse 13 here in just a minute. I want to give you, kind of set the table here just a little bit, give you a little bit of background. So as Moses is preparing to go back to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, the incredible exchange that we're going to read into this morning happens between Moses and God. And this incredible passage, I think it demonstrates just how important God's presence was to Moses. Moses hungered for more of God. He begged, he asked for more of God. It's important for us to remember that Moses had such a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. So much so that God met with him personally. God even called Moses friend. Oh, that we would be called friend by God. We're His children, right? All that we would hunger for more of Him. Let's look at this passage together. All that can, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's inerrant and infallible Word. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Notice the promise there in verse 14. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, notice that, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Notice that request of Moses. Then he said, I will make my goodness, we're going to dig into that word goodness in depth here in a few minutes, pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back. That's the second word we're going to look at here in a few minutes. But my face shall not be seen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word, church. You can be seated. So God calls Moses friend. One of the things that I heard when I read through is this, is Moses just constantly seeking more of God, just begging for more and more of God, more of his presence. Moses is unwilling to settle for anything but God himself. So much so that he says, if your presence does not go with us, we don't want to go. Notice what he says here in verse 13. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
know, the presence of the Lord is so powerful in our lives if we but pay attention. I was talking to a dear sister in the faith not long ago. And she was sharing with me how that for years in her life, she just kind of existed. She just kind of lived life. But God had worked through an illness that she was dealing with to help her understand how precious life is and how God is always at work in her life. Have you ever thought about that? God is at work in your life even when you're sleeping. God's been at work in your life before you were ever born. And God is continually at work in your life. That's how important you are to Him.
God had led her to this greater understanding of who God is and how He's not only always at work in her life, He now brought her to this point to where she savors God's presence. And church, I would tell you this, we were created to live in God's presence. Just like Moses, and the children of Israel, we were created to have this deep personal relationship with God. You know, God literally walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, we read that all the time, but have y'all really let that sink in a while? He walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the morning. They were able to completely enjoy His divine presence. His desire for me and for you is to have that same kind of relationship with Him. He wants us to walk in His very presence. But do we hunger for that? Do we seek that in all that we are and in our daily lives? God does so much around us, church, that I think we miss and we ignore. We've got to learn to realize God never meant for us to live our lives on our own. He never wanted us to rush into His presence every time we needed something. Every day, all around us, our God is continually declaring His presence and His power in our lives. He does it through everyday miracles. Do you realize your heart is beating right now? Every beat of that heart is a miracle. Everybody do me a favor, take a breath with me. You realize every single one of those is a miracle? Birds flying. The leaves changing right now. God painting the most majestic, beautiful picture and a palette that is all His own. No artist can ever duplicate it or come anywhere close. Mountains moving, nations changing. Every night the heavens declare His glory. The last couple of months has been kind of challenging for my family, particularly dealing with my mom. And let me thank y'all so much just to say the love y'all have shown us has just been phenomenal. My brother and I, because of everything she's been dealing with, we spent some time together this past Friday. God really spoke to me through spending some time with Joel. Joel moved from this area, obviously, down to Raleigh now, and he's been living in Raleigh for about 6 or 8 months. And he and I were standing out talking, and he just looked up and he said, "I forgot how beautiful those stars are." And I thought, wow. How often do we take the miracle that God paints every night in this gorgeous canopy of stars? How often do we take that for granted? As yet one more time, God says, "I'm here. I'm not only present, but I want you to know that I'm still working miracles. I'm still meeting needs. I'm still changing lives. I'm still saving souls because that's who I am." In church, He's doing those miracles all the time. And we're just running and running and running in our busy lives. He's continually declaring His presence. And I would ask you, what has He done this week to declare His continuous and certain presence in your life that you've missed because you were too focused on self? What have you missed of Him declaring yet one more time who He is? Look at verse 15. "Then He said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I,'" notice that, "'from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" Notice here Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, then we don't want to go. In other words, Moses is saying, we don't want to go anywhere where you are not with us. Church, we were created. We were created to go in His presence. For the children of Israel, they understood, yes, they were separated from the rest of the world. And what separated them from the rest of the world was the way that God was with them. God was their strength in battle. God was their source of food. God was their guide through the wilderness. God was their source of protection against the enemy. And church, that's not changed. We as His modern day children, He is still our strength for the battles of life. He is still our very source of life. He is our guide through life. He is our protector, our provider, our sustainer. He is our Savior. He's our God and our King. But I want you to notice, I highlighted that word separated for a reason. He's our God, and we were created to go out into the world. But we were created to be separate from the world. We were created to be different. Our speech ought to be different. Our thought processes, the way that we think through things, they ought to be different. The way that we approach problems, it ought to be different. Because let's be real, a Christian ought to approach obstacles and troubles and trials through faith. And faith makes no sense to an unbeliever. But listen, our hope, our peace, our power is not made by our own hand. Our hope, our peace is not made by the strength of our will. Our hope, our peace was purchased for us. Our hope, our peace was freely offered to us when Jesus, hanging on the cross, cried out, "It is finished." We were created to go into the world. We were created to be separate. And we were created to daily walk in His presence. Look in verse 18. And He said, "Please, show me your glory." Then He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But He said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This last section, church, on the surface, it seems just a little bit weird, don't it? Moses boldly asked, "God, please show me your glory. I want all of you. I want more of you." Oh, that we would all utter that same exact prayer in our daily lives. See, Moses had been given a guarantee. He didn't be given that guarantee, we read back in verse 13, that God would be with His people. God's presence would be with His people. But that wasn't enough for Moses. What Moses wanted was a new vision. A new vision of the glory of God. Now, notice the word goodness here in verse 19. Then He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before me." God's goodness, that word literally translates His divine character, His divine attributes, His inexpressible majesty. And then going forward, I want you to notice the word back in verse 23. That word back has the intended meaning of what remains. It literally translates the afterglow, if you will. What was left over. The afterglow of God's glory. After God had passed by. Since God is spirit, He does not have a body like you and I have. And what Moses saw, what Moses experienced, was really all that his physical body was capable of handling in that moment. See, when God said, "Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and as my spirit passes by, I'm going to cover you with my hand, and then after I'm past you, I'm just going to remove my hand, and what you're going to see is the afterglow." Because Moses couldn't handle seeing his face. He could not handle seeing his face and live. That's how great, how majestic, how powerful the glory of God is. But see, church, Moses knew something that I think so often we, the church today, have forgotten. The importance of relishing in God's presence. The importance of worship is what I'm talking about. We were created to worship in His presence. Too often our worship consists of coming to worship service, coming to church. And then in our daily lives, maybe there's a little short quiet time, followed by a series of 2 or 3 30, 40 second prayers over a meal. Y'all get where I'm going? Our time to relish in the Lord's presence, church, is so very limited in our daily lives. We don't take the time. We don't really understand or appreciate because we've forgotten the importance of worship. We were created for daily, continual worship of God. Continual, daily experiencing His presence. Our God has an all-surpassing, unending glory. We cannot begin to describe what Moses experienced in that amazing encounter with God when God put that hand there and protected him. And then God passed by just to see Moses, let Moses just to see his back. Human language fails to communicate the beauty and the glory and the majesty that Moses saw just from the glimpse of that afterglow as God had passed by. The Hebrew word for glory, if you're a person who likes to keep up with this kind of thing, the Hebrew word for glory is kavod. And it literally means to have an obvious honor, the highest of reverence, the absolute pinnacle of status. Moses wanted to see God without any barriers. He wanted to see God for all that He is. And I would ask you, do you have that same desire today? Man, I do. I hunger for more of God every day. But sometimes I got to get the God of self out of the way so that I can appreciate my King the way that He ought to be. I want more of God every day. I want to experience His majesty. I want to see more of God without any barriers. I would ask you, do you want to see God in all His glory? Man, I do. Moses was not allowed to see His face. For God made that very clear. No man can live and see the face of God. See, God didn't allow Moses to see His face because at that point there's still a need for separation between God and humanity. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why the one and only begotten had to come. So that He could be our Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus died on the cross, That temple veil was torn. That veil was to separate humanity from the direct presence of God. But when Jesus died, Jesus tore that separation away. And now we can fully experience the divine presence of God as children of God. If we are but willing. J. Oswald Sanders says this. He said, every man is as close to God as he chooses to be. I read that and I thought, wow, that is so very true. And I would ask you this morning as I close this message, how close to God have you chosen to be?
Is His hand enough? Is His hand enough just to meet your need? Whatever that little need you have is, and then you want to rush right back out into life? Or do you desire more? Do you hunger for more? Whatever your need, as our worship team comes, He stands ready, willing, and able to meet that need. Maybe it's a need for that closer walk, and you know I need that. I want to invite you to come. Maybe it's a need even for salvation. I want to invite you to come. Whatever your need, He stands ready, willing, and able to open the storehouses of heaven and meet your need. Not as a hand that just passes something to you, but as the greatest friend you'll ever have. as your God and your King.